Please change the system now and again, mate.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Tottenham on a Thursday. We delayed it because we wanted to talk about the Carabao Cup, perhaps, or maybe not, James.
Yeah, so we won't be talking about that today because actually we're pre-recording this on Wednesday, so we don't obviously know how our teams got on in the Carabao Cup.
James made it back from Nottingham. As your friend Expressions Oozing calls it, fossil football. He was like, we're playing eight at the back. I'm fed up with this eight at the back. I've had enough, man. Enough of Conte. He's useless. I've had enough of Enid out. Anyway, obviously, he's clearly exaggerating. But when I saw your team, I thought, oh, he's gone quite strong. I didn't think he hadn't rested a lot of players. I was surprised to see Kane, Perisic, Sessegnon. Like, it was a very strong team. Other than, obviously, Fraser Foster. I got a little rest for Lloris. And Ollie Skip obviously needs to get minutes now because he's been coming back from injury for so long. So no problem with that. But other than that, I thought it was fairly strong.
Do you want to talk about West Ham first? I'm not delaying.
No, well,
this
we can't. Here. I didn't watch it, right? Because it wasn't televised. And not only was it not televised, like, it wasn't televised anywhere in the world.
No, I know. Neither was the Arsenal game.
Yeah. So didn't have much luck watching it other than keeping up on scores. And we obviously lost in the end 10-9 on penalties with Bonner missing the last penalties.
10-9 on penalties.
Yeah, mad. They were all going in and you're like, okay, who's going to miss first? And it was Bonner. So frustrating to be out, mate. But when you look at it, every Premier League London club is gone.
Charlton's still in.
Yeah, but they're not in the Premier League.
I mean, the better statistic of the way of looking at it would be there's seven teams that obviously qualified for European competition and four of them went out last night. A fifth might go out tonight. Obviously, Manchester United are still to play Aston Villa. Yep. And then you've only got, let's be honest, the two best teams. And I say two best teams because historically over the last few years, that's certainly City and Liverpool. Those would be the remaining two. And Liverpool, what, beat League One Derby on fucking penalties. So they easily could have gone out as well, right?
We didn't play the kids. We played a B team, but it was our Europa League team. So you're still talking about grown men players, first team squad players. I wouldn't call them under 23s. Downs and Coventry's had minutes, and Antonio and Ben Johnson and Agbonna and Aged and Areola. Like, this wasn't the kids, mate. This wasn't the team that finished the game.
No, but in fairness, FCSB. As well, Blackburn are near the top of the championship and doing quite well.
Yeah. But they rotated a little bit as well. So, yeah, wasn't good, but no, nor was it for many.
All right, as you've not got much to talk about West Ham then, which allows me to have a good 20-minute rant about Tottenham, don't worry, I'm very
Yay!
Capable.
Yay! It's what they all want anyway.
I presume from the lineup last night that Shamaka will start on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so too. Because Antonio started, Shamaka will start.
Yeah, I don't think he's left Shamaka out to play Antonio in the Carabao and then start him again against Leicester, has he? So for those who've got Shamaka, he's probably playing against Leicester. Not that I'm holding my breath on returns on that, to be honest, but gives me some food for thought, whereas I think there was enough doubt where I might have gone, bench him. Don't really want to bench that now. That feels a little bit strong to do that. Okay, in any case. Right, Super Spurs, you mentioned the team. So it's interesting, yesterday we were kind of, a number of us on the Tottenham Slack channel were kind of having a go at predicting the team. And it was one real common theme, which I think the non-Tottenham fans would like, why would he do that? Was we were all predicting Kane to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of us would have started Harry Kane. So if there was a complaint on the team, the reality is that the team was too strong. I know that sounds ridiculous, but actually, and you can say, oh, well, he picked a weaker team, you would have lost even worse. That's not necessarily how football works, actually.
No, I get that.
And you've got a mix and match where I think me and Dad were talking last night about, obviously, England, and we'll obviously do that on the main pod tomorrow. Squad's announced, James Maddison's in it, unbelievably.
And Callum Wilson.
But we were talking about England's performance in the Nations League and not being able to, you know, it doesn't give you much hope for what's to come. As if these players under this schedule give a fucking fuck about the Nations League. And actually, it's the same for the third round of the Carabao Cup, isn't it? If it's quarterfinal or semi-final and you think you've got a chance of winning it, yeah, I keep saying this.
But the thing is now, this season, with the fact that so many Premier League teams dropping out, you're like, oh, there might be a better chance than ever.
There is that as well. You think, oh, if we'd gone through, you've got rid of a few of the big boys there as well. Unfortunately, Man City's still in it.
Still so there.
Their reserve team will probably win it, won't it? But yeah, I know what you mean. It would have, with Arsenal going out and Chelsea going out and yourselves going out, you would have felt like it opened up the draw a little bit. Nevertheless. Conte said after the game about Harry Kane that he actually pulled up in training on Tuesday because he was so fatigued. Not injured, but he was so fatigued. He was like, I'm knackered. And so Conte said, do you want to play tomorrow night? What's Harry going to say? No, actually,
he's not
going to
say no. That's a stupid.
The guy's obsessed. He's never going to say, I don't want to play. Make the choice for him. And he said, Kane's the only forward we've got, so he had to play.
Richarlison on the bench, Kulu on the bench.
Richarlison on the bench. Oh, don't even play with a forward. Don't even play with a forward. Yeah. Just play with Hill and flood the midfield and use these boys later in the game or something, right? Probably the example I'm using there is extreme. But the idea that Harry Kane had to play last night was ridiculous. Really. It should not have been anywhere near the pitch. And of course, what happens is we go 2-0 down, and as it goes 2-0 down, he takes Kane off the pitch because he's obviously pre-decided maximum an hour, which I understand to a certain extent, in that he's thinking half hour Kulusevski and Richarlison. So you're bringing two attacking players on while removing your best one, if you will. But psychologically, it looked terrible, right? It's like we've gone 2-0 down and now you're taking Harry off. Wouldn't it have been better to do this the other way round? It felt like. Or try and see if you could push Richarlison or Kulusevski for 45 minutes. Or heaven forbid, just call up a fucking youth team forward. The people on the bench last night, who, I mean, you mentioned Ollie Skip, it's a great example. Ollie Skip had to play last night, right? He needs the minutes, yeah? He's only going to get minutes and fitness back up by playing football matches. Ollie Skip had to play, fine. On the bench, you've got two players who haven't seen the pitch this season, but I think in Tanganga's case, who's one of the two players, has played 5-10 minutes. I think in the second half against Marseille, the first time around. So you've got Jafet Tanganga, who loves the club. We know this from the Amazon gig and all that, right? He's never going to pull that shirt on and not give a fuck. Play him. Yep. No reason not to play him. Pape Maté Sarr, right? You didn't let him go out on loan because Bentancur got concussion and was going to miss West Ham. And you were worried that you had no cover for West Ham. It's literally, basically, why he didn't let him go out on loan. For one game. For one fucking game. Harvey White, regular substitute. No, he's never going to get on the pitch. I've spoken about this before. He names 9 substitutes. There's no point in naming 9. You might as well name 4 or 5.
Should I mention the other one?
Go on.
The right back?
Well, so he's the other obvious one that everyone wanted to play. And guess what happened as soon as he come on the pitch, Serge? 50-yard run, right? And it was the best moment of the game for us, right? It was like, oh my God.
I've heard in half an hour he did more than some of your players did in the whole game.
Absolutely. And to be fair, like, I actually thought for the hour he was on the pitch, I actually thought Matt Doherty was probably one of our better players, to be honest. So it's not really a knocking of Matt. Also very not coincidental again. I might add that we were absolutely atrocious defensively, and Emerson Royal wasn't on the pitch. But the selection, that's what I mean. It might sound weird. The selection was too strong. Because you reflect on that in hindsight now and think, well, you might as well just play fucking kids. What was the point? Because what I watched certainly wasn't a first team Tottenham. It wasn't a second team Tottenham. It was just nothing. We got well beat, Serge. This wasn't they dominated us 2-0 on the counter attack. Like, if it wasn't for Fraser Forster, we would have lost by more, mate. So at half time, the first half was kind of nothing. Forest played well for 20 minutes, hit the post. They had shaded it. Then the second half of the first half, we started playing a little bit better. We went in 0-0, a little fortuitously because of the way the game started. It was like, okay, well, considering what's been happening lately with us keep going 2-0 down in games and keep improving in the second half, and I know I've got Richarlison and Kulusevski sitting on the bench, I'm thinking this can only get better. Mm-hmm. Well, fuck me, it got a lot worse. It really did. Right, there's loads of things to cover here. Let me start with the goalkeeper, because he's not a player that I've spoken about, Fraser Forster, and he really did save us a bit last night. He moves like a tree.
Okay.
How do trees move?
It's just the arms only, basically. It's just the branches. the middle is solid.
That's it, isn't it? It's absolutely perfect. And he's really wrong to be critical of him, because like I said, honestly, we'd have probably lost about 4-0 because he did make some good saves, but it all kind of saves that were like straight at him and stuff. He can't move. It's weird. I'm watching him. He can't move. He can't move to his sides. Yeah. He's just too cumbersome, and like he has strengths. Like actually, if you're going really deep and teams are slinging crosses in and stuff, he's going to come and claim them and catch them and stuff. I'm not even saying he's that bad as a goalkeeper. He's not terrible with his feet in terms of kicking it long. I'd be very concerned if he's got to be heavily involved in a build-up play and stuff. But yeah, it was just a comment I wanted to pass on him. The back three, Sanchez, Dier and Longley, were all absolutely horrific. Longley was probably 5 out of 10. The other two would be fortunate to probably get like 3 out of 10, Dier and Sanchez. It was so bad, Such. Eric Dier... And actually, people say, he's been terrible since he played for England and stuff. I said on Monday's pod, actually, other than the kamikaze incident for Salah's second goal, I actually thought he played quite well against Liverpool. Oh my God, he was horrendous last night. And Sanchez, I don't know what it is with him. I don't know if it's because he thinks, I've got recovery pace, I can get myself out of trouble here. He's not good enough, unfortunately.
He's now known by expressions as Colombian Idris Elba. I'm not sure where that comes from.
Oh, okay. What was it, the PlayStation analogy that he's used?
Yeah, that was originally PlayStation going on standby, but now, I mean, Idris Elba is pretty cool.
I mean, to be fair, Sanchez is obviously one that definitely should have played last night. Yeah. Longley's played a lot recently. And obviously Sanchez played to the right. So Dier's moved from right-sided centre-back to central centre-back. So Longley moves from central centre-back to left-sided centre-back. Ben Davis was due a night off. It's absolutely fine. Have we got nothing in the under-23s or anything that we can use to call up to this squad to give the likes of Eric Dier, particularly, the night off at Nottingham Forest? What is he playing in this game for, really? Clearly, you need taking out and a little bit of a breather. He's another one. He's going to put himself out there. And I do realise that without Eric, even if he's playing badly, his organisation and leadership is very important to us at the moment. I heard a really good comment, though, on actually coming out the ground. You know when you hear fans have rants, and there was a fan who was walking over the bridge over the River Trent coming out the ground, and he was having a proper whinge. And most of them, 99 times out of 100, you're like, oh, I don't want to be anywhere near this fella. But what he was saying was so spot on about Dier and Ben Davis. And it's bad to dig out Ben Davis because obviously he wasn't even involved last night. He wasn't even on the bench. But he's like, look, they've been great for the last year. They've done really, really fucking good for us. But they ain't good enough. I voted for Eric Dier as our player of the year back in May, even though I knew Sonny would win it, because I felt it was justified that he deserved the vote for a brilliant season. But even when we was having bad moments, he was consistently playing well. But he's right. Like, he's not good enough long term. We ain't going to go win no Premier League title with Eric Dier as centre-back. We ain't going to win no Premier League title with Ben Davis playing left-side centre-back. And I know people saying, yeah, well, you got no chance to win the Premier League title anyway. No, that's true. Everyone would have said that about Arsenal 6 months ago, and I'm not sure people are saying that now, right?
Saliba, Gabriel, game changers, right?
Well, the difference that Saliba's made is obviously absolutely huge. Ryan Sessegnon at left wing-back... I made a comment a couple of weeks ago, it might have even been last week, where I said that if Sessegnon was Brazilian and Emerson was English, people would be having to moan about Sessegnon. He was woeful, horrendous worse than Dyer and Sanchez. Like, wasn't a point in being on the pitch, which was completely compounded by, Suj, and you probably won't be aware of this, we brought Bentancur on for Højbjerg at half-time, and I think that was probably pre-planned that they were going to play 45 minutes each. Completely understandable with their workloads recently. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Then, obviously, it goes 2-0. Conte makes three changes. He brings on Richarlison, Kulusevski, and Brian Hill. Brian Hill's another one who should have started the game. Did nothing when he came on, but should have started anyway. So he's only got one sub left. With the last sub, which is still with good 25 minutes to 30 minutes to go, he takes off Doherty for Spence. And another one who obviously should have started was Jed Spence. As the board goes up for the change, Sessegnon has been getting pelters down in front of us because he's now tried to put in his 200th failed fucking cross. I was going to say of his Tottenham career, but let's just go with this season. And decides at that moment to start waving that he's got an injury problem and goes down, literally, as Doherty's leaving the pitch. Tottenham try and change the substitution after the substitutions happened. Can't do that.
Oh, wow.
Can't do it. So there's two ways of looking at this. And I don't want to be too critical. And the only reason I'm not going to lay on really hard on him here is because if he genuinely did ping his hamstring and carried on and played through the rest of the game, fair fucking fucks to him because it's pretty gutsy. However, I think that he wanted to get off the football pitch. Because I still saw him sprinting. And if you've done your hamstring, you ain't sprinting.
No.
So it kind of left us for the last 25 minutes playing 10 and a half players. That said, we'd been playing the first 60 minutes or so with 10 and a half players because he might as well not been there. He was woeful. And I'm afraid to say, forget all this. Oh, he makes the good odd run off the ball in behind and that. He's too weak. He's not going to be good enough, kids. One of Tottenham's biggest mistakes of this season is probably going to prove to be that they left the destiny of Dodgy to stay at Udinese rather than just signing him and getting him in and playing him every week, because he's getting rave reviews every fucking week in that position, playing for Udinese in Serie A. So, yeah. Oh, is Perisic or Sessegnon going to play? It would be Perisic, by the way, kids. Yeah. The other side, as I said, actually, I thought Doherty was one of our better players, actually. It did fine. It was nothing in the game I could be overly critical of him about. But when Jed come on, and again, it is another one where he's 2-0 down and it doesn't really matter about worrying about the other way, he came to life instantly. It was like someone who wanted to... He looked like Victor Moses. He looked like a fucking Antonio Conte wingback as soon as he got on the pitch. What I hated about it was, though, he was getting coached through the whole of that period. After he had that run, I could see, because I'm standing on the other side of the pitch and I've got to look across in line to Spence to Conte. Conte is controlling every fucking move that he's making there on the pitch. He seemed to have no chemistry with Kulusevski at all, which in fairness is one thing Doherty absolutely does have with Kulusevski. They have a good link and understanding. There didn't seem to be any understanding at all between Spence and Kulusevski, which does leave me wondering, like, have you not even tried to look at this yet in training? So they can get an understanding of each other's games. Because if Spence does come in the team, most regularly he's going to have Kulusevski in front of him. So start working on it at some stage. And
is it just not a bad night at the office?
What? Last night?
Yeah.
Of course it was.
It's just one bad night, right?
No, it's not slit your wrist. But at the same time, I do the pod a lot and I defend Conte. I think there's a lot of things last night he needs bashing for, right? I've not gone up there and had a good night, right? Same as I, you know, let me enjoy myself after Brighton and stuff. Hang on, that was a waste of my fucking time, wasn't it? So look, Spencer's got to get more involved, but I just find it bizarre that he didn't start last night. What's the worst that's going to happen? The worst fucking happened anyway.
Yeah.
Just play him. Try. Does anybody really care if you go out in the third round of Carabao Cup?
I'd rather go in the third round than... Yeah, no, it's difficult, I understand.
It doesn't matter till you... Once you get to the quarters and stuff, even look, so we played each other in the quarterfinals last year and we both rested players and whatnots. And it's like, if we win, yeah, great. Plus, the schedule this year is ridiculous. And that's my main biggest gripe of all last night, is people like Kane and Dyer, who have clearly played too much football, should be nowhere near that team at the moment. All three attacking subs who came on were all wank. So, Kulusevski's not. I know he had a big impact against Liverpool. He's not fit. Please don't buy him for FPL. If he goes off and you don't buy him, fine, come at me, blame me. I really wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start. I think the narrative of, oh, it's two substitute appearances, he'll start, I really wouldn't bank on that. I'd think that Richarlison actually might even be ahead of him in terms of fitness. Hill is just too weak. He's not going to do anything ever against a side that's kind of sitting up in a block and stuff. He's not. And teams know they can shove him off the ball. I thought the game, by the way, was really, 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 really badly refereed last night. Not in terms of bias against us, just fucking shit referee. Just from start to finish, it was one of them, exactly what I've said a number of times. Both teams, he was letting clear pushes, pulls and stuff just going. He was like, he was only going to give free kicks if people fell to the floor. And it was just a bit shit. And Hill, bless him, realised this quite quickly and started going in for people. But he's still like a child, like, isn't he? So he's still only just bouncing off people. The only person who come out of that, other than Forster, in fairness, and as I said, I think Doherty didn't do too badly and Spence had moments when he came on. The only player otherwise that came out of that with credit last night was Benson Corr again when he came on the pitch second. I mean, just begging, hoping that he can open up a door, trying his heart out and stuff. He didn't play well, but he's the only one you could look at afterwards. Like, if he'd have walked over, he'd have got a round of applause. I mean, they were getting absolute pelters when they came over at the end of the game, Suj. Really bad. Which I hadn't seen as bad probably since the night we lost at Colchester, actually, which was also third round of the League Cup, ironically, as well. Yeah, it's horrendous, mate. It was just a bad performance. There's nothing in that. He's like, again, he's like watching, it was like that old Mourinho thing, watching the game and feeling like I'm not really there. And so therefore, I'd rather have had kids on the pitch and, you know, had Spence, had Saar, had Tanganga, have Hill start and stuff. And look, these kids have a chance. And if we get beat, we get beat. Whereas actually, because the team he's picked is more of a narrative. I feel like if we'd have picked a weak team last night and picked a young team and they got overrun by more experienced opposition, then all right, fine. You rested players because the schedule's been ridiculous and we understand. And even this week, it's not like we played Liverpool Saturday and we're playing Leeds Sunday. It's in the middle of Liverpool Sunday and Leeds Saturday. So, yeah, the biggest moment is actually that he picked too strong a team. He keeps saying, oh, I need two players for every position. He's lying. Because he's only got 14 or 15 players that he actually wants to use. And I don't think he wants to use some of them, to be honest. He must be sick of Sessegnon by now. We missed Emerson Royal last night. Just saying, hashtag.
They'll just, yeah. I mean, it's disappointing. No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's disappointing. But to be honest, Suj, I've already forgotten about it. It doesn't matter. We've lost in the third round of the League Cup. It doesn't matter. It's more the what I've gone and watched is... Other than the game, had a really nice night with my dad. Like, I love Nottingham. I think it's a great city. We walked in the town and stuff. It's such a little buzzy kind of vibrant place and stuff. Had a nice meal. Had a nice breakfast this morning. Had a good night's sleep. It was just a fucking 90 minutes in the ground, mate. I like Forest. It's so picturesque with the River Trent, obviously, behind it and stuff. Great venue for an away day. It's just literally everything but the football.
But the football was shit, yeah. Disappointing. Yeah,
the football was shit. And as I kept saying, we're bumbling along and we need to get past Leeds, get to the World Cup, and something needs to happen on the other side. Also, again, like, I will defend Antonio a lot. Please change the system now and again, mate. Like, Mangala's got sent off for Forest with, what, 12 minutes to go or something. And you do think the game was dead. Like, it wasn't like, oh, if Tottenham score real, the game was dead. But obviously, then they have the red card and you think, oh, if we nick one, they might panic. Yeah, absolutely, right? Particularly the way we finished a few games recently and stuff. Never looked like it was going to come. But at that point, why are you still playing three at the back? Oh, to a back four. He has to look at certain fixtures now and think, why am I playing a back three? Now, I know that's how he wants to play, and I'm fine with it. But I think it's just so predictable and so obvious so often. And the only flexibility he has is whether it's three in midfield or three up front. that he's got to consider looking at some at certain stage, because there's certain players in that squad, like Emerson Royal and Ben Davis would be two I'd name, who are very suitable to play defensive fullback roles for him in a flat back four. You suddenly play a back four that, say, like Emerson Royal at right back, Ben Davis at left back, and you could play, if they're all fit, probably at the moment in terms of distribution, Romero and Longley, actually, unbelievably, probably as the best two. You can have Bentancur and Højbjerg in front of that. Then you can have four attacking players in front of that. You could have, like, Kulusevski on the right, Sonny on the left, Richarlison and Kane through the middle. And just on paper, that looks devastating in terms of the attacking talent. Now, I'm not saying that he even has to start games that way, but I feel like there's so many games recently we've been behind, and a few of them we've obviously turned around. But sometimes just look at having a back four. And it frustrates me, because I know there was times a year ago where he did it. So I don't know why he would never consider doing it now. It's been a good sort of 9-10 months since we've been chasing a game, and he's gone, oh, I'm going to go to a back four at the end here now. Mm. And he won't do it. And I don't know why. We just, to be honest with you, at the moment, we are what a lot of people have been saying. We're predictable and boring.
Yeah, and you're fourth in the table now, right?
But we're fourth in the league. So, yeah,
I mean, you say, but we're fourth in the league. But the, I mean, again, narrative is narrative. The thing is, all the games against bigger teams, you shrug. Like, United beat you, Arsenal beat you, Liverpool beat you, Chelsea was a draw, they should have beat you. So anyone in and around the top six
is a problem.
Is a big problem.
Yeah. But if we beat Leeds on Saturday, and I'm not certain that we will, by the way, then it's 29 points from 15, and that's reasonable. That's, you know, that's very close to your 2 points per game, and a fraction under it will probably get you in the top four. So if we go into the break, 29 points from 15, we just got to put these first 3-4 months of the season behind us and start the new one. A lot of what we were talking about yesterday was Milan. So we've obviously drawn Milan in the Champions League. And, you know, I said to you, I was like, oh, Valentine's Day as well. If it's Valentine's Day, the narrative for me feels so special, because I went to Prague on Valentine's Day. It was my first trip to watch Tottenham abroad. And obviously my first Champions League game was in San Siro as well. So it kind of felt like full circle to start it again. Not going. Not going, because I tried to book flights and they were £140 return. And as I press confirm, I got thrown off the website and then come back in, and it was more like £350 return. And psychologically, that buries you. Like, I was paying £140 here. Now it's like £350. And we were still talking about it a lot yesterday, to the extent Dad was looking at flights, which would have been a lot cheaper, which kind of get into Milan like 4 hours before kickoff. And I fucking hate that, because it's just, with a train, it's a train. You get the next train. You don't get the next flight.
Delay.
You don't get the next flight or something, right? So I hate the idea of that, but was thinking about it. And then after the game was fairly unanimous, and this is where it's horrible at the moment, because you know that I'd said if I got tickets for Bournemouth, I was going to go to every league game at least. I didn't get tickets for Bournemouth. Desperate to go to San Siro. And me and Dad are kind of, I wouldn't say arguing, but we're just discussing, like, why are you going to pay £350 just to get to another city? And we're lucky, right? We've been before, to fucking watch this at the moment. Like, why? There's nothing there to want to go and spend, you know, a third of a month's salary or whatever for that, for a game of football that I can watch and see in the pub. Yeah, it's at the San Siro. Yeah, it's iconic. Yes, I want to go. But it's just not justifiable. He's like, we can afford it. It's not, I can't afford to go or something like that. It's not justifiable, because we beat Milan and then we get Dortmund in the quarter, just as an example. I'm not saying they'll beat Chelsea, by the way. But it's like, I want to go to Dortmund. I'll spend another £500 or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At what point do you go, hang on, why am I spending all this money for this team? Anyway, also I applied for Brentford away tickets yesterday as well on Boxing Day, but that's different because it's only down the road and stuff.
It's a train journey, but yeah, I can get
but
that.
But it is interesting that I have this bug for going again. I think partly off the back of a full season after COVID and stuff, but actually they're not worth going to support at the moment, despite some very good results. No, no.
I couldn't be more the opposite right now.
That you just don't want that at all.
Nah. But I suppose it's other things that it's generally always an A or B choice, right? It's not a yes or no choice. Do I go or don't I go? It's do I do this or do I do this? And we've had some Saturday games that have been awkward timings. Like Bournemouth actually didn't, there was no A or B. Like I was sit at home on a Monday night or go out with my brothers and go and watch the game. Go out with my brothers and watch the game. But like this Saturday, for example, we've got a 3 o'clock game, which actually is not too bad in terms of timing. But then one of my sons has got to go to an exam at a school or something. So he's not going to finish till 2. So now I need to figure out if my wife's going to be able to pick him up. My car broke down yesterday. Again, this fucking piece of electric shit. Yeah. So then it's like a headache.
Buy a new one,
I don't have a car. It's fucking new enough, mate. But anyway, they're trying to.
You shouldn't be taking the car to West Ham anyway. I keep telling you this.
No. But even getting to Oakwood, then I've got to tube it. Then I'm like, do I take my younger son because my older son's going to be somewhere else or whatever?
Walk to New Barnet, get the train to Highbury Islington, and get the train from Highbury Islington to Hackney Wick.
Yes, on the way there, but on the way back, fuck waiting for an overground. But the point is now, like, yeah, the football's not great. The atmosphere's not great. It's cold, dark, and wet. You're spending all the money. I mean, I paid for my season tickets. Mine are cheap, that it's not that bad anyway. And it doesn't really feel like football day. You know, when I used to go with my brother when I was 25, 26, football day was football day. And it would be the fry up in the morning, pint before the game, go and watch the football, have a pint after, go out. It was football day. It doesn't feel like football day is football day anymore. Yeah, difficult.
I think you bring up an interesting point in terms of wondering why I want to keep doing it. I think it's part of my dad as well. He's 68. How much longer is he going to be able to do it for?
Yeah.
It's not that he's not in any ill health in any way, right? My dad's probably fitter than me, to be honest. But it's probably more that you have to stand up away from home, right? There's no fucking choice. You're ducking and diving at our height to try and see things and stuff, particularly at a ground like that last night where the stand's quite flat and stuff. I mean, our seat was row 5, mate. We watched the game in the first half. We watched in the back row, and the second half we just watched it in the stairs and on the stairs in the gangway, mate.
Yeah.
Just fucking ducking and diving to try and find the best view during the game and stuff. I think there's that. Yeah, like how much longer is he gonna be able to do it? Plus, with a little man, what's going to happen in life where there's more things that he needs me for? Dad, take me here. Dad, take me there. I don't know.
So get it in while you can.
There's that influence, I think, maybe to why I've gone to a lot of away games this year as well. I'm blessed because of this job and stuff that, you know, I can work till late Tuesday night doing other things and piss off and watch the football. I haven't got to specifically take holiday time off work or whatever because we don't have holidays, do we, Sitch? But yeah, look, he's done. He's finished. I'm in no way a Conte out camp, by the way. And I know there's a few who are like getting really properly sick. I'm not there because I just know that within that team, there's stuff that they can do better. And I know that we'll add in January and we'll add next summer and we're probably on a journey. I can't get too committal to him because I just think that he could just fuck off at any time. But he's done. We lost. The league game at the weekend, frankly, is more important. And it's Harry's birthday. And there's more important things in life.
What day is his birthday? Saturday?
Harry's.
Yeah.
It's today.
Oh, lovely. Happy birthday to little man.
Yeah, mate. 4. Unbelievably. Nice. Like, where does that go, right?
What was my lucky number? So, I don't know what he's going to do. But, you know, 4 was my lucky number. Good.
We're getting a Scalectrics out tonight. He doesn't know that yet, but that's what we're getting out.
Wicked. Good. You're playing Leeds at the weekend. We're playing Leicester. I suspect that we will win because James Maddison's not going to want to play at all on Saturday.
Of course he's going to want to play, mate.
No, mate. If he gets an injury, on Saturday, how gutted is he going to be? He's going to be pulling out of tackles.
All I'd say...
He's going to be protecting himself.
Nah,
mate.
He's not, mate. Before the Euros, all the talk was about Trent, wasn't it? Get him in the squad. It was kind of the same. And he got in the squad and he got fucking injured in the warm-up game, didn't he? And then it became, well, what were we talking about for the last 2 months or so? And yeah, it would be James Maddison's luck probably to pull a hammy or something on Saturday. And I'm sure someone in that 26-man squad, I'm sure one of them will get injured at the weekend, by the way. It's highly, highly probable that could happen. You got that many players and they're all going to play. Yeah, there's a chance someone's going to pick up an injury. I don't know who the standby list is. We'll have to have a check before that podcast.
Maybe we should record a pod tomorrow about the World Cup squad, which is what we are doing for the main podcast.
We will do that.
Diff show coming at you tomorrow as well.
Along with a diff show, obviously, as well. It was something I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was. So, fuck it.
All right, patrons, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Okay, Spurs. Cue music, please, man child. Messi, I'm gonna miss you.